Just a heads up, there's some strong language in this podcast.
In this film, we are going to discuss, quite frankly, the things that are normal and to be expected in the development of children in relation to sex. Some of you may become somewhat uncomfortable as parts of this film unfold, but I think if you listen carefully, you will agree that the concepts will contribute to the rearing of a mature person who has a healthy, responsible attitude toward the sexual side of his life.
I'm Isabella Ortiz.
I'm Aliyah Musaliar. This is Radioactive, a podcast created and produced by young people.
It's almost impossible to grow up in America without hearing at least some negative messaging about sex. Sex is everywhere. And depending on where you live, what faith you adhere to, and how open your family is to talking about it, the messages can get pretty confusing and weird.
In this podcast, we're going to be talking about the different types of sexual education that we're faced with from a young age. The ones slammed into our faces, starting in the sixth grade and onwards, to the more quiet versions we get at home. We want to talk about why there is so much abstinence-only education, and what virginity really is.
We often feel that something is wrong with her, since she's not really interested in these things when other girls are.
I don't know how to talk to boys.
Among my friends, it really ran the gamut about what they knew and what they didn't know.
One of the first things I ever learned about sex came from my Catholic school education. They taught me sex is only between a cis man and a cis woman, and it was only used to make babies.
What's cis?
It's someone who identifies with the sex they were assigned at birth.
Oh, carry on.
The only type of contraception we learned about was this thing called natural family planning. If someone wants to have sex, they're not going to be like, wait guys, let me check my basal body temperature. Gotta see if I'm ovulating.
So I guess you can just not have sex, right?
Well, yeah, but, and I don't know about you, someone just telling me not to have sex won't magically keep me from wanting to do it.
Can you explain what virginity is? I mean, I know what it means, but why is it relevant to this discussion?
Well, first and foremost, virginity is a concept.
That's super profound.
Yep. It's someone who hasn't ever had sex, but at least for me growing up, it seemed more important for women to be virgins than men. Like, I mean, you kind of see it in the
booklets and films that we saw. There was too much that was rather flowery.
A guy takes something from the girl and the girl loses something. And nobody talks about boys being virgins or girls being interested in sex.
When we have the idea that sex is dirty or bad, we don't talk about all the important stuff.
Yeah, and then we just accept the harmful things we're told. Like, we shouldn't just accept the information we're given at face value. It's not supposed to hurt. And having enthusiastic, constant consent is mandatory.
But people still see teens aren't ready to handle the hashtag truth.
Damn.
This whole double standard kind of reminds me of an experience I had when I was in the eighth grade. So there's this huge thing known as Title 392 in the state of Washington that contains all the laws and requirements for school when they're teaching about sex ed. If the district chooses to teach sex ed in the first place.
Are the requirements helpful?
Well, I actually thought they were pretty good. You know, making healthy choices through communication, knowing prevention resources, and lastly, knowing whether or not you should even dive into relationships just yet. A whole bunch of science-y stuff too. Well, at my school, Tahoma, I think the science part of sex ed was pretty good. Just your average classroom where they projected those movies about those special developments.
And what about relationships?
The way my school presented relationships, pretty awful.
How so?
Like, just straight relationships.
Wait, even though this was a public school? What was your traumatic sex ed experience?
Two words. Brad Henning. He's an abstinence educator. He's also the author of, get this, Don't Take Love Lying Down. He started talking about the differences between men and women.
What about kids who don't identify as either?
He speaks around the country to thousands of students about the same old standards. Here's a news clip from Yak Tri News from the Yakima Tri-Cities area of Brad speaking to students.
The number one thing that I hear girls say about guys, they're all a bunch of jerks. And my question back to the girls is, who taught them to be like that? And I think girls do.
Brad also spoke of his super special website that everybody should check out. So I did.
Wow, you're the only kid that would assign homework to themselves.
Maybe, but this time I ran into some really weird stuff. Brad's website has this tab for students that's split into two sections, for girls only and for guys only.
Let me guess, the girls section read like a, here's what guys hate that girls do, BuzzFeed article.
Actually, yeah.
Oh my god.
Weirdly, on the for guys only section, there are just creative date and surprise ideas.
And what about the section for girls?
It's an endless list of questions and suggestions about how they should pursue intimate and sexual relationships. Well, let me just read out some of the questions. Why are guys so horny? Why do guys like big boobs? Why are guys attracted to only skinny, beautiful girls? Why do guys always want sex, or at least talk about sex? Why do guys brag or lie about things they do sexually? Why do guys talk about their personal parts? Why do guys like to watch lesbians?
Oh.
That question is the only mention of gay people on his entire webpage.
It should be evident the advantages of starting early with explanations to children.
Wow, forcing stereotypes on guys and hypersexualizing lesbian relationships. What fun.
A question that really caught my eyes was, why do people think it's okay for a guy to have sex, but not for a girl? Here is one of our fellow radioactivians reading out part of the answer.
Think about the fairy tales. There's the young prince, handsome, rugged, self-sufficient, the man who can stand up to the challenge. He's the hero, the man on the white horse, and he's looking for his fair maiden. He's the wild one who can only be tamed by the one he seeks to rescue. When he sees her for the first time, he's mesmerized by her beauty and charm, and basically turns to putty. He longs for her and is now willing to settle down to a life of love and happiness. But then, of all the dastardly things, he finds out that she has been with just about every guy in the realm. He realizes that his fair maiden isn't as fair as he'd hoped. Does he want to fight for her hand or rescue her from the evil in the land? No, this isn't what he dreamed about all his life. He's been dreaming about a fair maiden, not the town slut.
Wow. That's just one of 40 questions on his website. What angers me is that this is what my school put out for thousands of students. And it was the first time we talked about this as kids. You know, we were eighth graders. So this presentation really normalized these graphic and frankly gross behaviors.
Yeah, a school's supposed to be a source of trust, private or public, not one that invites speakers who talk about girls who have sex as the town slut.
And something even weirder popped up when I was doing research for this podcast.
Should I be excited or depressed?
A little bit of both. Apparently Brad Henning was going to speak in Kennewick, and the school district was debating whether or not they should allow him because a lot of parents were angry. And the ACLU was concerned the presentation
of Brad's,
quote, relies on false stereotypes about gender and promotes a view that holds women accountable for men's sexual behavior.
Which it kind of does from the looks of it. Tell me more.
The ACLU wrote a letter, and they note that under Washington's Healthy Youth Act, that sexual health education needs to be inclusive to all students, regardless of gender, race, disability status, or sexual orientation.
So what happened with Kennewick School District in the end?
Well, here's a mother talking at a school board meeting.
I am super disappointed that this is even a consideration for a public school setting and that there's not an alternative that is scientifically backed and that provides actual evidence for kids across the board, not just straight kids, but also anybody who's a member of the LGBTQ community in general, which she doesn't discuss.
Or here is another woman.
On his website, at least twice, he refers to women as bitches. He mocks the way women walk and talk in his presentation. He asked girls why they wear padded underwear. Mr. Henning tells boys that if a girl in a bikini walked into the auditorium where he's giving a speech, they would all catcall and follow her. He then demonstrates how to harass women. This is a part of his speech that I've seen. Mr. Henning discriminates against boys by telling them they can't control their sexual urges. Girls have to train them.
And this last woman concludes. You could hear the emotion just in her voice.
As a gay teen, my son is not heteronormative. LGBTQ students are fighting for a safe and inclusive program in our school system. By promoting a speaker that is not safe or inclusive, you put those students at a greater risk of harm through bullying and assault.
Oh, wow. So what did Kennewick do?
The school board still voted 3-2 to keep Brad.
Oh my god.
He pulled out of the gig, though, because of the bad press.
Well,
maybe it's all of these conflicts that caused Brad to not want to talk to us.
Yeah, you reached out, right?
I dialed the number on his website, which was listed with all the other information about how to contact him. After the first ring, a woman picked up, and I gave her the whole intern spiel about how I'm from KUW and how I'm doing a piece on sex ed, and how I'd really love to talk to Brad about his perspective. She first told me that he was out of the office, so I was like, okay, then I'll call on Saturday then. And then she pauses for a short while. Note that she had already mentioned that he was out of the office, meaning he still worked there, which is why the next answer blew my mind. She said he retired.
That seems sketchy as hell. I feel like your experience with Brad is very telling of the way we approach sexuality in our country.
Yeah, I feel like our national focus that is honed in on maintaining this abstinence-only view hasn't been helpful in preventing what it's supposed to.
Oh yeah. There's this article by the Washington Post written by a few former U.S. Surgeon Generals that says the U.S. still has some of the highest teen birth rates in the industrial world, and every hour, 1,100 young people get an STD. Can you even, like, conceptualize that?
Yeah, I know, and it blows my mind.
And to help all this, Congress came to our rescue. Actually, not at all. In 2015, Congress increased funding for abstinence-only education to $75 million a year. The Center for Disease Control literally says that telling kids not to have sex doesn't stop them or the diseases they spread.
Not paying more careful attention to how sex education is taught shows a blatant lack of care to LGBTQ+ students.
Refusal to spread positivity for different types of sexualities, gender identities, and relationship dynamics.
And downright allergy some schools seem to have for making adequate resources available to young people. It's our perceptions that any form of relationship that isn't straight is too adult for schools to teach, and that having multiple sexual partners makes you some sort of deviant. According to the CDC, sexually active gay, bisexual, or pansexual people are at higher rates of contracting syphilis and account for more than half of all new HIV infections within their population. And if there was more accessible access to health and sexual care, as well as contraceptives, and testing available at a wider degree, people would probably be able to have safer and healthier interactions.
Regardless, the systems in place that keep people ignorant about their bodies and limit their choices needs to end. Teens are capable of making responsible decisions if they're given the chance and information they need. There also needs to be a change in how we approach sex in general. There doesn't just need to be two opposite poles of, I'm a good person because I don't have sex, and the only way to be a liberated individual is by having tons of it.
Exactly. No matter what you decide to do, you should do it in a safe, healthy, and mindful way.
Having healthy and safe sexual experiences are a right to anyone mature and ready to have them, not a political statement.
If you liked what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to Radioactive Podcasts on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Also, check us out on Facebook at Radioactive Youth Media, on Instagram and Twitter at KUOW Radioactive, and on the KUOW website. Special thanks to our mentor, Noel Gaska, and to our editor, Jenny Asarno.
Also, thanks to our fellow Radioactivians, especially Patrick Liu, for reading. The clips from this video are from a short documentary film from 1966 called Parent to Child about sex.
Looking at the information that you received before you started, how would you evaluate it?
What children need from us is information to answer all of their questions. This is a must, just to protect them against the misinformation and wrong attitudes that are all around us.
Hey there, listeners. I'm Izzy. We made this podcast over the summer, and we weren't able to reach the Tahoma School District for comment before our super short deadline. But we recently reached back out and got a hold of the school district's director of communication. His name's Kevin Patterson. Kevin says Brad Henning, quote, made his presentation to 8th grade students over about 10 years and was discontinued 2 years ago. And the presentation was not part of the school district's health curriculum. His whole statement is on our website, kow.org/radioactive. Let us know what you think on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, snail mail. We'd love to hear from you. What was your sex ed experience like? Oh, and next week, the new season of Radioactive Feature Stories debuts right here. You don't want to miss it.